A lot to be proud about concerning the First Baptist Church. Well, John chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible reads it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Go down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Lord Jesus, I pray that You would take this time as we look into Your Word, as we dive into the Scriptures. I pray that from it we might find Jesus, that we might understand Him more, that we might know Him better, and in doing so that we might receive life even more full than the way that we came today. Lord, I pray that a transformation would take place. As we behold Your glory, may we reflect Your glory. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This we ask in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm trying to think about how the best way to start this. And I've thought a lot about this week. And I remember back in 1999. You remember there was a buzz towards the end of the 1999, at the end of the century, about Y2K. Everybody remember Y2K? Everybody remember the hysteria that came with Y2K? There was so much nervous anxiety about what Y2K would mean, not only for us as Americans, but the world over. What would be different at the turn of the century? And so much money, government money was spent, so many in dollars invested to make sure Y2K would not actually take place. Man, preachers preached on it, books were written on it, and there seemed to be, the world over, a extremely nervous anxiety for that particular moment. And I remember as watching that in 1999, the balls coming down, New York City, and there's many people, doom and gloom, thinking, that light is not going to light up when it hits 2000. We're going to have problems in 2000 because those computers are not going to be able to handle the turn of a century. Well, you understand, we're here today, the markets are fine, and we survived Y2K. But the days and the months preceding Y2K and the anxiety that followed, that what it would look like, that in a very, very small way is only a hint of what it was like before the time of Jesus in regards to the future anticipated Messiah. You see, there had been so much time gone by, 400 years as a matter of fact, where there was no word from heaven. The heavens were shut up. Man was left on his own. And what he did is he turned a relationship with the one true God, Yahweh, into many things that it should never be. And so this sect went this direction, and this group had this set of beliefs, and this group had this view of the Torah. And so much of Jewish life was divided and misunderstood, and a relationship with God had been relegated in many parts to fable and superstition and tradition. There was this anxiety. There was this bursting of emotion, or at the seams, if you will, of when was He going to come? And what would He look like? And what would He accomplish? And how better our lives would be as a result of His coming? And how Rome would be dethroned and the true Israel rise up? And a king would one day unite us and bring us all together. And yet, Christmas, the coming of the Messiah, the birth of the Christ child, was very different than what they expected. And if we were living in those times, we would be no different. The Bible says, you shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. And so if Jesus came to reveal God to us, then what are some of the things that we can learn about God by looking at Christmas? That's the question of the morning. And there's a couple of things that stand out to me, and I want us to talk about it a little bit this morning. I want us to talk about what we can learn about God through Christmas. Through a period of waiting, through a period of anticipation, of expectation, and when it finally came, when God moved into the neighborhood, when God took on flesh, in that first Christmas, what do we learn about God as we celebrate this holy, holy night. First thing I think that we can learn about God is humility. Humble. No pagan author before Jesus would ever have used the word humble as a compliment. And yet Jesus is referred to as humble. It almost sounds like an oxymoron, does it not? A humble God. A humble king. And so the people, they were not expecting a humble king. They were expecting someone to triumph. They were not looking at an underdog. They wanted a champion because they had been in bondage and they had been so oppressed for so long. Not just under Roman rule, but if you go through their history, the nation of Israel, it seemed they went from one bondage to another bondage. They were oppressed and they were persecuted by one group, one country, or another. And they were expecting when the Messiah came, He would throw off all of those shackles and he would set them as a nation free. And yet here comes God, their king, clothed in humility. A humble God. Not what the people of Israel expected. You see, the people of Israel, they could say the verses that we read. They would quote these. They made songs out of these. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, "For unto us a son is given, and unto us a child is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." Those are pretty broad shoulders. "And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Over there in Psalm chapter 24, verse 7, the Bible says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Man, that sounds like it's something powerful. Who is the King of glory? I tell you who the King of glory is. The psalmist says, "He's the Lord, mighty, strong in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is the King of glory? The Bible says, "He is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." Well, all of these verses in the Old Testament, these Jewish believers, they were expecting some type of mighty, conquering king. And what they received and what we've received is so much different than what they had anticipated, expected, or even bargained for. A humble God. God visiting planet Earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word took upon flesh and blood. And as the Message translation says, and God moved into the neighborhood. Think about that entrance. Think about the lack of fanfare. A humble beginning to a humble God. Much different than the heads of states today. My friend Kenny Howe, he was talking to me for a while about this new movie that was coming out called The Queen. I don't know if many of you have seen the movie The Queen. It won a lot of awards, Academy Awards, at least nominated for those. And I remember as I sat there watching, thinking to myself, that is a different world. The Queen of England, how long she sat upon that throne, and all the prestige that comes from that throne, all the prestige that comes from her royalty, at her very word, men stand to attention, as well as nations. She is prized, she is acclaimed. There is none higher in the eyes of England than the Queen. I read a story one time of her in the early 90s, coming here to America. It was a state visit. Talking about a visit. Talking about a head of state going to another place, making a grand entrance. They said she came with 4,000 pounds of luggage. That ought to have been an interesting check-in. 4,000 pounds of luggage for a state visit. With that, she brought two outfits for every occasion. Just in case she chose the first one wrong. She brought not only two outfits for every occasion, she also brought a mourning outfit in case someone died. Always be prepared. 40 pints of plasma, just in case. White kid leather toilet seat covers. Very important, coming to America to have those. her own hairdresser, two valets, many other, a host of other attendants and attendees. A brief visit from the Queen of England could cost up to $20 million. Now compare that, ladies and gentlemen, to the coming of the King, God, the King of glory, the Lord, strong and mighty, Yahweh, coming to planet Earth. No fanfare. This event that divided human history, maybe on that particular night, more animals than humans present. There was one moment, as I read to you in Luke chapter 2, one moment where there seemed to be a little bit of fanfare. The heavens burst open, the skies filled with light, and these angels proclaimed good news of a great joy which shall be for all people. But to whom did the angels bring that news? To nameless shepherds, hirelings. Men who perform a job for the people of Israel, they looked upon as such common laborers, they were not even able to enter into certain places in the worship service. And yet that is to whom the angels told this good news of great joy to. Much different. Heads of state, kings and queens, most of the time are not known for their humility. And yet you cannot read the Christmas story. You cannot look at the life of Jesus and not see a common characteristic throughout. That this King, this Christ, this Messiah, He is humble. A humble God. Jesus even said that about Himself. Now, if you or I were to say about ourselves that we were humble, we would show ourselves not to be. And yet Jesus, He's probably the only person who could say about Himself that He is humble and for it to remain true. For over there in Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "All who are weary and heavy laden, let them come unto Me. For I am gentle and I am humble at heart." The Lord Jesus, throughout His life, you see humility. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God to the church there at Philippians, he says over there in chapter 2, verse 6, that this Christ, this Messiah, who being the form of God, He did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped or something to be tenaciously hung to, but yet He emptied Himself and He took upon Himself the form of a servant, and He was found in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance as a man, the Bible says He humbled Himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This God, this Messiah, the King, the Lord of hosts. Humble. So different, yet so attractive. Humility is attractive when we see it in our brothers and sisters. It is incredibly attractive, almost even awkward, when we see it in leaders. Yet the one that we say that we know, that when we say that we love, maybe the reason why we've felt the freedom to know Him as much as we do and love Him as much as we have come to love Him, it's because maybe we're not threatened by Him because we see within Him a humility that's very attractive. We learn from the Christmas story about God that He is humble. His children ought to be as well. You also not only see the humbleness of God, but you also see the approachableness of God. See, Jesus, He changed the way humans would approach deity. See, as you look in all the major religions, the common emotion that is correlated with deity usually is fear. Hindus today, when they are offering prayers or they go to worship, they will go to the temple and they will offer sacrifices. Muslims, they are in such awe, such fear, reverence of this deity of Allah that they call, that they bow their heads to the ground so low. If they could get lower, they could. What is the emotion? It is fear. Trembling. Jews. The Old Testament, they were no different. You read the stories over there in Exodus. There remembers Moses was walking along that day and he saw that bush that was burning. And he approached that bush and a voice came. God spoke from that bush and said, Moses, take off your shoes for the place that you're standing. It is holy ground. There was fear. There was trembling with Moses that day as well as there should have been. Then you have Isaiah. Isaiah over there in Isaiah chapter 6. He has the experience with God there in the temple. He sees the Lord of hosts. And the Bible says he is trembling. He says, I am undone. I am finished in your presence. There is no hope for a man like me. And there those angels came with burning coals and touched his lips. And God says, your iniquity is atoned for. Throughout the Old Testament, you find how the people of God responded to God, and you will find the common emotion is fear. To grapple, to have an exchange, to meet this deity, your face might glow, or you might walk with a limp for the rest of your life, but you would not leave the same way you came. Over there in the book of Exodus, reading last night, reminded how God said to Moses, I'm going to meet you at this mountain. And you shall tell all the people of Israel that they are to assemble and they are to come close, but they shall not touch this mountain. For if they touch this mountain, they're going to die. It doesn't matter if they do it by accident or do they do it by purpose. It doesn't matter if it's man or woman or if it's beast. If anybody touches the mountain, they die. There was fear in approaching this God. There's a story in the Old Testament about a guy who was carrying the ark. And he was carried on a cart, and the cart tilted, and the ark was about to fall. With all good intentions, this guy reached out to touch the ark so that the ark wouldn't fall. God struck him dead. You say, all the guy was trying to do is something good. And yet that ark represented the presence of God. You shall not touch it. For anyone who touches that ark, he shall die. Such was the case with that man. Even the high priests are able to enter into the most holy place. They did so only once a year. One man, one time a year. And even with that, they would tie a rope around him for in case something were happening to him inside that most holy place. They would not be able to go in and get him. They would have to drag him out. Because that is where the very presence of God, Yahweh, the distinction between God and man, so great. Man's only response in coming to him would be that of fear. Because he is so other. He is so distinct. He is so holy. And what is man? Thou should think he could even approach him. And yet, when you think about all of that, the Christmas story, here comes God as a little baby. Jesus changed the way that humans approach deity. As one writer said, what can be less scary than a newborn with his limbs wrapped tight against his body? There's nothing scary about that. There's nothing intimidating about that. And yet that is how God, that is how the God of the Old Testament chose to come and move into the neighborhood. Ladies and gentlemen, this God, he's approachable. No one needs to fear a baby. No one needs to fear. All are welcome. In Jesus, God found a way of relating to man that did not involve fear. See, fear truthfully never worked very good anyways. If you read the scriptures, if you look through the Old Testament, fear never really worked that well. Because in the Old Testament, even this God that they were greatly afraid of, there are more low points in the Old Testament than there are high points. God needed a new way, a new approach, a new covenant. And that is what he began and established in his son Jesus. This new covenant was not one that just emphasized the difference or the gulf or the span between God and man. It was the actual remedy for it. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word became flesh, this Logos, this King. He took on flesh and blood. And he moved into the neighborhood. The God who made matter took shape within it. As an artist might become, or might hope to become, a spot on his own painting, or a playwright, a character in his own play, God wrote a story using real characters, using the real pages of history, the Word becoming flesh. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, under the law. What do we learn about God through Christmas? Many things. Today, I want us to think about a humble God and an approachable God. Now, with that being said, are we any different than the people of Israel? Are we any different than the Jews of the Old Testament? As they expected, as they longed for, as they awaited the coming of the Messiah, they were surprised. And many people discounted Him and rejected Him because He did not fit the description of what they thought the Messiah would be. For you and for me, do we really know this God-man, this Christ? If we made Him to be something that He's not, have we put Him in a category that He shouldn't be? Have we added things to Him that were never meant to be there? Have we taken things from Him that should never have been excluded? How well do we know the real Jesus? For when you think of God, do you think of humility? Do you think of one who's approachable? To Google the phrase, real Jesus, ? I'll do it sometime. You will find a host of opinions. But ladies and gentlemen, the good news is, for you and for me, we say, God has spoken. The latter times, God spoke through visions, God spoke through dreams, but in these latter days, God has spoken, Hebrews says, through His Son. Jesus Christ, He is the final word on God. You want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus. You want to know a little bit more about Jesus? Ponder Christmas. Ponder a holy night where deity, the light of the world, squinted. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. Look at the first Christmas. How a little baby whose fingers had sculpted mountain ranges holds on to a little teenage girl's finger. Want to know what God is like? Look at a little baby umbilically tied to a lowly Jewish servant girl. There's God. There's Messiah. There's the Christ. If God were born in a palace, there would be many of you and for me who would say, that is not my kind. I do not feel welcome. But ladies and gentlemen, God was born in a cave. We call it a cow stall. Anybody can come to a barn. Anybody can come to that type of place. Only those who don't are those who are full of themselves and full of pride and expect the King to resemble more of what a king might look like. Yet the King of glory came not to impress, but to rescue and to give good news of a great joy to all people. this humble God, He's approachable. And everyone is welcome to find a relationship with Him. Father, thank You for the Word made flesh. Thank You for taking upon the likeness of man, traveling a far, far distance from heaven to earth, from glory all the way to a small little town, unnoticed by this world, unnoticed by the kings of this land. God arrives. It was to those shepherds, unnamed hirelings, excluded from much of the worship of Israel because of the job and the function they performed. And yet it is to those men that night that the good news came to. God, as we think about Christmas, thank You for what we can learn. That You're a God for everyone. You're not for a certain class. You're not for a certain people. This is good news of great joy for all people. Lord, we realize to come to this humble God, we've got to humble ourselves. I pray that we would, as we ponder Christmas. Lord, may humility in our hearts be the result. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. The question this morning, do you know this Christ child? Do you have a relationship with the Messiah? See, these past few weeks and next week, we're talking about how well do you really know Him? And notice, I'm not talking about a system. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a person. See, you don't have a relationship with an institution. You don't have a relationship with a system. You might be in it, but you don't have a relationship with it. It is impossible with an institution. But with a person, you can have a relationship. And it's only through a relationship with the Messiah that life can ever be life. Your sins can ever be forgiven. Heaven could ever be your home. Christmas can ever be Christmas. Do you know Jesus this morning? Have you ever invited Jesus to come into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior? If not, I pray that today you would make it your day. Right where you're seated, as your heads are already bowed, would you just ask Jesus right now, please come into my heart. I want to know You. I want to know You intimately. I want to know You like that preacher up there is talking about the opportunity to know You. I want to know You that way. I don't want to miss the real thing. Life's too short. Ask Him right now. Come in your heart. Forgive you of your sins. Make you His own. If you do that in humility, that humble God, that King of glory, the Bible says He will make His home with you. He will make His home with you. What a deal. What a deal. Father, I pray that You would draw during this invitation time. Glorify Yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. My name is Matt.